The Unruffled Beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals it is Thursday, 10 p.m., and time once again for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Greg Audell. I'm proud to bring great entertainment to Houston through GPA Productions and to serve on the board of writers in the schools where we teach kids to write their own stories. Every week, along with Hank Robichek, our founder, mentor, guide, and friend, and Warren Holloman and Mary Edgerton, and essential team players Nicole Grady and Alondra Mejia, we celebrate the power of story by showcasing the storytellers who saturate our community. Sure, we host professional storytellers on this program, some of the very best around. But most of the tellers who grace our studios are common people, just like you and I, yet with uncommon stories to tell. Riveting accounts of episodes that defy description, although they're described superbly by the very ones who claim, I wish I had the words, or, I mean, if I could only take you there. Well, you know what? They do find the words, and they too take us there, week after week. Journeys through life shifts and rifts and jarring trajectories, each poignant, all profound, and completely powerful. My favorite kind of story is the one told by those who don't really think of themselves as storytellers. And they are entirely surprised by their tendencies and abilities to move listeners emotionally and intellectually. They show their vulnerability slowly, often highlighting a struggle or contemplating a dramatic change. Whichever the case, this type of teller is usually a novice that transforms others with remarkable success. I am so proud to have two of those tellers seated next to me and ready to go, well, sort of, because Lisa Moore and Daniel Cherme are mildly apprehensive after Hank ambushed them when they were enrolled in his storytelling class last spring. But if you know Hank, he is not one to let talent sneak off into the night. He wants to shine a light on his most talented and moving of students. And I'm really proud y'all are here tonight with us. Lisa is an ambitious career woman, creating memorable events for individuals, groups, and anyone who is lucky to have her grace their events. She's a communication studies major, and I love that she views storytelling as a tool with which she can embrace her clients, as well as an effective means for placing clients in an event that exceeds their dreams. And I think that's really the job of an event planner, because, you know, anyone can call a caterer, but it takes some real talent, skill, and experience to create an event. Daniel's love of animation and human expression inspired him to explore theater and voice. And it's his interest in people taking positive direction that drives him to majoring in psychology. He loves gaming as an instrument for cultivating relationships and appreciates how storytelling captures the essence of culture. Lisa, Daniel, I want to thank y'all for being here and welcome to So What's Your Story?
Thank you so much for having us.
Did you think when you signed up for Hank's class that you'd find yourself sitting in a radio studio talking about some of your deepest thoughts?
Not at all.
I mean, I thought I was going to be able to tell stories to a bunch of people in a classroom, not be here.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're just, Hank's classroom knows no limits. And so I think he sees our audience as an extension of the classroom. And Daniel, I know you see storytelling as an avenue for kind of demonstrating the commonalities among culture. Can you give us an example?
Well, everyone on every continent has a story to tell. It's through these shared character concepts that these stories let us break down tougher cultural barriers to really more understand each other.
Well, that's a really good point. I know that you also view voice as a dimension more important than any other, that the human voice communicates what other modes of expression simply cannot.
Yeah, voice is such an amazing tool to create such engagement when we speak. How you can be so sweet and innocent and then violent, sadistic and cruel all within 10 seconds.
That's a very good point. That's, you're sitting right next to me and you give me the shivers right then. Lisa, Hank tells me that you told great stories in his class, complete with substance and value. What's the most important thing that you've learned about storytelling?
I've learned the value of storytelling and how important it is to pass on these important stories from family to family. They're alive and they continue to grow with your children and your children's children, and it's a great message to continue to pass on.
Oh, that is so true. I mean, my nieces know so many stories about my wonderful grandmother who passed before they were born. They're both college age now, but they know the stories and they know her because she lives on through our stories. That is a very poignant point to bring up. What's the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself as a storyteller?
I've learned that my voice is an instrument, and I'm able to use it to share the ways that I'm feeling. I probably would not have thought of myself that way before with storytelling. So I appreciate this new talent that I think I've come into.
Well, you know, and one thing I want to say to everyone in our audience, and that you hear a lot from us, is, you know, a couple years ago, I didn't envision myself as a storyteller either. I sort of fumbled onto a stage at the Moth Story Hour and told a story, and I was kind of surprised that people like it. And 2 years later, they're still liking them. But I didn't see myself one. So if you're listening to us, I'm telling you, you have stories. You may not just think of them as such, but share your stories. Sort of implied in the intro, Lisa, that you're, I guess, would you call yourself an event planner?
I would.
Okay. And that really, it seems like what you're selling is dreams. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a great way of saying it.
Well, Lisa, I'll tell you what. Why don't we start with your story? As our audience knows, we are a family of dog lovers. And so why don't you share your story with us? All dogs go to heaven. And I believe that is absolutely gospel truth. What inspired your story?
Well, they say all dogs go to heaven. I sure hope that's true. I was gifted with a new puppy for my birthday this year. My husband came home with two little bundles, a little brown ball that I later named Bentley. He was a Yorkshire Terrier, and a silver and white, beautiful little dainty puppy that I named Bella. And Bella was full of energy. She ran all over the house. She was an aggressive miniature terrier, and she ran all over the house chasing after my Yorkie and grabbing at his tail and doing whatever she could to get his attention. And the energy that they brought to our home was just wonderful. We hadn't had dogs for a while, and so it was a great birthday present, and all the love that they brought to our home was so welcoming. A couple of weeks into having Bella, I noticed that she would run, and then she would get out of breath, and she would breathe. And I became a little upset and concerned because she was just a young puppy, and it was kind of alarming to watch her be so out of breath after chasing Bentley, who right next to her, right around the same age, wasn't having those same concerns with running and jumping the stairs and all that. After a couple of weeks, I talked to my husband and said, I think Bella is a little out of breath when she runs. There could be something wrong. Do you think I should take her to the vet? And he says, I think she'll be fine, Lisa. Don't be so dramatic. And so on and on I watched until it became very noticeable that she needed to visit the vet. And the vet told me that Bella had a 50-50 chance, because there was apparently something going on with her respiratory, and this was just a birth defect possibly. He gave me a prescription, and I took her home. And soon, after taking drops each morning, Bella began to regain her self again and was running around and barking and biting and chasing Bentley. And the barks were back, and everything appeared to be normal again for a great few days. The energy that Bella and Bentley brought to the home was once again restored. One morning, I woke up to feed the puppies, and I noticed Bentley was up and rambunctious, and Bella was in her bed lying, and she wasn't full of energy like she normally was. So I gathered Bentley and took him outside, and then put Bella in a blanket and prepared to give her her medicine. But I noticed that she was lethargic, and once again, her breathing was strained. So on as the day went, I kept her with me, continued to try and give her her medicine, but watching the difference between Bentley and watching the difference between Bella was alarming, and to be quite honest with you, it was very sad, because I could see what was beginning to happen. So I kept an eye on Bella all day with me and continued to watch her breathing. All day. Making sure that she was rising and falling in that little blanket and that she could see me, even though she wasn't running around full of energy, just so that she could see that I was there and that she was full of love and loved. As the day came to an end, I was preparing to run errands, and I went to get Bella, and I picked her up and put her in my arms, ready to give her her second dosage of her medicine. When Bella was breathing, they say all dogs go to heaven. I sure hope that's true.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I know it's true. I know it's true. And though she had a short time here, I'm glad she had you. I'm glad you had her. And that's the other true thing about dogs is we never have enough time together.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of stories about dogs on this program because there's just something freeing and dynamic about living in a dog's world. It's about heart. It's about love. It's about absolute purity of feeling and everything good. Let me ask you, Lisa, I mean, I think most of us can relate to your story, but what would you like our audience to take away from it?
I think that prior to Bella, I've owned dogs for many, many years, and I thought it would take years for me to fall in love with a dog and become so attached that my heart would break. I had Bella for just about 3 weeks, and in that short amount of time, our home was completely transformed by her presence. And although she was there just a short time, we miss her. We still miss her. We still catch ourselves saying, Bella.
I don't think that ever goes away. As many of our audience knows, I had my best buddy Kirby for almost 17 years. And when I get off the elevator at my apartment building, if I'm particularly tired, my first thought, and this has been 4 months now, is still, I can't wait to see Kirby when I get home. And I don't know how long that takes. And special thoughts go out to Bella, Kirby, and my friend Heather's little boy, Max, who just passed on, but they will all remain in our hearts.
Yes.
And we need to keep telling stories about them, and that's how they stay part of our families.
Yes.
Well, friends, a very critical message is that you are listening to guest storytellers, Daniel Cherimay and Lisa Moore. And I'm your host, Greg Audell, with Nicole Grady working the boards on So What's Your Story? Only on corporate-free KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 for our friends in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Nicole, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am good, although, you know, I think we're all dealing with broken hearts after listening to Lisa's powerful story and thinking of friends that have gone on. Do you have dogs?
Oh, well, you don't want to hear my dog story. I am a former dog owner of many dogs, but...
Okay, but none right now.
None at the present, just children.
Well, friends, this month is the first month meeting in the new digs for our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild. And Nicole, would you tell our friends about them?
Sure thing. The Houston Storytellers Guild makes it possible for everyone to listen to each other's stories in a supportive setting and learn about crafting stories from some of the most skilled tellers around. So starting this month on Tuesday, September 26th, and the fourth Tuesday of every month, the Guild will hold their monthly story swaps from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Haven Center. That's at 1805 West Alabama. So check out their site at www.houstonstorytellers.org and follow us on our So What's Your Story Facebook page to learn about our special guests and about the dynamic storytelling community right here in Houston. And don't forget to like us on the way out, guys.
Seriously, friends, I mean, our Facebook page is growing. The emails we get, we hear more wonderful stories each and every week, and we look forward to having some of you on our program. So keep sharing your stories with us. Please keep sharing our page with your friends on your Facebook pages, on Twitter, on Instagram, and that'll let your friends realize that you're really the coolest one in your crowd. You know, Houston truly is a rich community of storytelling enthusiasts. It's kind of amazing, you know, what we have become in just the last few years. The Moth Story Slam is another terrific venue. It's held at the Warehouse Live on the second Tuesday of the month. And you truly don't want to miss it. The audience keeps growing by leaps and bounds every month because once someone goes, they tell their friends and they keep going. And we've actually been selling out the last few months, which is just amazing. In fact, you might as well just kind of right now, I'd suggest you get out your calendar and mark every Tuesday and keep it open for storytelling night. And every Thursday night, for So What's Your Story, only on Pacifica, KPFT, 90.1 Houston. Next week, Mary Edgerton will host John Edgerton. Yes, they are indeed related, as he resurrects the story of the South Texas farm workers' strike from the eyes of his 12-year-old lens. Only on So What's Your Story, a weekly ritual you don't want to miss. Because no matter where you go on the dial, there is no place like this place. You know, you can help keep it that way when September 29th kicks off our fall fun drive. I know you're asking again, but that's what community radio is. We need the support of the community. That's why you don't have to sit through corporate commercials. Get a jump start by going to kpft.org, then donations. Select your form of payment and scroll down to So What's Your Story as your favorite and tell the world, or, well, at least those at KPFT, that you love having live storytelling here in Houston, only on KPFT 90.1. Now, Daniel, your story on the side of the river reminds us of what Oliver Wendell Holmes concluded. The great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as it is in what direction are we going. Is there anything you want our audience to know before your story, or would you like to just start?
Yeah, it's that I hope you take away what I learned from this moment and instead see someone who sees so much joy in every moment rather than any sadness.
Well, tell us your story.
Well, we all have little voices in our heads. They help us make decisions if something's wrong, and generally help us through our day. But not for me. Mine, rather than help, almost made me make the biggest mistake of my life. A lot of people say high school is the best 4 years of your life. But for me, sophomore year was absolutely miserable. My mom had died within the first couple months of school, and when I got back, people seemed different. It's not that, like, my mind was really weird. It's my mom had died. I understood. Things happen. But the way everyone would talk to me, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, so if there's anything I can do to help," it made me feel as if the only thing that mattered was this horrible thing that happened to me. I started to see myself not as a person anymore, but as a thing that happened. And that's when the little voice started to talk to me. "Wow. Look at you now, Daniel. You're a joke. All you are is a little thing that happened. And you're not even that sad about it. Wow. You can't even make a difference enough in these people's lives to where what you say and do even matters. Wow. You should do something about that." Now, at the time, I was able to push him to the back of my head, but there were days when it got bad. One of those was in the early spring where I got to a point that was really low, and I jumped the fence to the Walmart that was near my school and found a man there, shifty-looking homeless fella, but seemed all right to me. And I asked him to go buy me something. I asked him to buy me a gun. The thing I will always remember is he didn't even look at me twice. He just said, "Okay, come back next week. I'll have it for you." I came back, and there it was. A gun and one bullet. Like, he knew I was going to use it for, but it didn't stop him. I took it and put it in a little Ziploc box and buried it by the side of the Tennessee River. I didn't want to use it straight away. I mean, it was just a precaution. I wasn't going to use it. It was just there to remind me, you know? And then the little voice came back. "Oh, what a loser you are. You get the gun and you don't even have the guts to do anything with it? You are so useless. They're right to think that way about you." It drove me to a point so low to where there I was sitting by the side of the river and holding a gun in my hand, thinking about what I was going to be doing with it, and hearing him getting louder and louder in my head. "You can't even do this right. What are you waiting for? There's nothing for you anymore. Just do it." I slammed the bullet into the chamber, slammed it closed, put it against my head, just waiting for that moment. The entire time, that voice screaming at me in my head, "You can't even do this! Why aren't you doing this? Do it! It's just a simple little pull, and that is it. What are you, worthless? You can't even do this right? Do it! Do it! Do it!" Click! Click. It was the only sound I heard for the next 30 minutes, an hour. I didn't even know. I looked in and the bullet had gone to the next chamber. I had loaded it wrong or frustratedly closed it wrong or something, but all I could do was sit there staring at this hunk of metal and wood in my hand and think, what the hell was I even doing? I was 15 years old and trying to kill myself because some little voice in my head was telling me what to do. I stood up, pitched that thing over my head into the river as hard as I could, turned around, walked back to campus, and never looked back.
Wow. At what point did you give yourself permission to share this in public, Daniel?
Well, It was actually telling my dad. I was really tight-lipped about it, keeping it in my mind in case I needed to help someone else, but never really sharing it, especially not with family, not with my dad losing my mom the same year. It was actually during Dr. Rubicek's class I called him and told him 3 years after the fact that it had happened and
wow.
Just needed to tell it.
What's the single most essential message that we should take away from your story?
Well, it's that all around any of us in Houston, there are those with and without mental issues who struggle with these problems every day. And just not to ignore them, but be there for them. Help them if they need it to make sure that something like this doesn't happen.
You know, and friends, I think we all need to realize how fortunate we all were and Daniel was that that bullet and that gun that day didn't work. But there are people I know and love who may have been acting on what some people refer to as a cry for help, which I don't really believe in because their cry for help resulted in their deaths. So I beg of you that if you're feeling this down, reach out, talk to people. There are people that care. And if you don't want to talk to someone you know, call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255. And they have programs for anyone who calls and special programs for veterans. You don't want to make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And you don't want to destroy the lives of all those who love you. We've had two very different stories, both moving and tender, and each producing a bonding with the listeners. As engaging stories will. One calming, peaceful, and hopeful, and the other stirring, emotional, and heart-trending. Though the subjects may differ, Lisa and Daniel reveal how stories can help us discover that we are bigger than whatever we are facing at the time, and we have to remember that. You are so much more than your darkest day. Guys, for two people who are nervous, I think you are absolutely outstanding. How do you feel?
I feel great. I'm so glad that I've been a part of this tonight.
Yeah, it's always great to be able to share that story and any story if it will help make a difference in someone else's life.
Remember that, friends. Don't be afraid to share your stories. You've been collecting and building these stories throughout your life, and there's a reason, and they are there to be shared. Thank you, Lisa Moore and Daniel Cherame, for your openness and authenticity and for conveying life's episodes with an introspective spirit and framing them with your newly found signature storytelling styles. Scooter's up next with the inner side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day. And while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Please be good to each other. I'm Greg Audell, and along with the fabulous team on So What's Your Story, we're asking you to remember that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace, my friends.
Commemorate International Day of Peace with the Rothko Chapel. The nonprofit invites guests to practice contemplation with the accompaniment of music, readings, and silent reflection. Led by Father Tullio Proserpio, the Twilight Meditation is scheduled for 6 p.m. on Wednesday, September 21st at the Rothko Chapel, located at 3900 Yupon Street. Suggested donation is $10. Proserpio was ordained in 1996 and has served as chaplain of the National Cancer Institute in Milan, Italy since 2003. 1983. He currently is doing research on hope in cancer patients at the Methodist Research Institute and has authored scientific articles on the topics of hope and bioethics. During the meditation at the Rothko Chapel, Proserpio will be accompanied on harp by Pat Flores, a member of the Greater Houston Chapter of the American Harp Society, Gulf Coast Harpers and Chapel. Proserpio will be accompanied on harp by Pat Flores, a member of the Greater Houston Chapter of the American Harp Society, Gulf Coast Harpers and